Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about us about absolutely anything. Go nuts. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
All right, everyone. So this episode is going to be super fun because Jake and I are joined by Jay Deal. And if you don't know him, Jay is an award-winning composer, music producer, orchestrator, keyboardist, programmer, bassist, and all-around good guy. He's played with a ton of people like Lady Gaga, Snoop Dogg, Diddy, Neo, Wynton Marsalis. He was in Janet Jackson's band for a while. He currently teaches out of USC in the music technology department, and he originally taught music business classes at MI and has done a bunch of other stuff. Anyway, we're super psyched to have you here. What's up, Jay?
Yo, what's going on?
Yeah, for everyone that wants to know, we're in a virtual studio here. So it's I'm in New York, and Jake and Jay they're in USC right now, right?
Yeah, why would you make me come here? I feel so old. Killing me. Killing me, Small. It was nice to be on this campus, so I like it here.
And now you see what I deal with.
Every time I step my foot in the door of a college, you get a little older every time you step in. You know?
Jay looked like he fit right in, though. I didn't even see him. He like snuck up on me.
I shaved this week.
Yeah.
That's what it is, yeah. Otherwise, you saw a gray right away.
Oh, I got a ton of that. You know, Jay's got a lot of experience in a lot of different areas. He even has a mathematics degree. So let's start with just some basic stuff here. Jay, do people often ask you, or do musicians ask you, like, how to break into the scene when they come into town, or how to get better gigs? Like, and if they do, what do you tell them?
I actually haven't answered those questions in a long time. I'm sure people are asking them, but they haven't been asking me. I've been getting a lot of questions about how to get songs or get opportunities to write for pop artists or do tracks for pop artists, more so like recording and studio production, that kind of thing.
That's a great topic too, though. So why don't we break into that? Like, let's unwrap that one.
But Adam, I don't know, man. That's what I'm telling them. Like, it's a digital age now, and just... You know, TikTok is hot for a minute, and but something else will come along in another 3 or 4 months, and it's like, in general, you know, things move faster exponentially than they did. Like in the 80s, okay, things went a certain way, and it lasted 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
But that's just the vehicle. That'll change, but the art is the art.
Yeah, the art is the art.
I mean, it's how do you get your own creativity out there in a way that's going to be good quality, it's going to be unique to yourself. Like, if you don't know the technology, you know, even just production and stuff like that, because people pick it up fat. Like, I have my cousin just picks this stuff up. She's just making music now. I'm just like, where did that come from? She's like, yeah, just figured it out.
That's the question that I hear in that exact phraseology is, how do I get my stuff out there?
And then
I asked them, what's the territory where you sweat? You know, and then almost invariably I get to the point where it's like helping them to determine what clear vision they want for themselves beyond just, I want to get my music out there. And then, you know, just say, okay, what's your 5-year plan, or where would you like to be in 5 years? What's the total global impact you would like to have as an artist? And then I help them to learn more about themselves, understand more about themselves. And then they come back maybe a year later, like, on another level.
Yeah.
And they're like, remember you told me? I said, I'm just trying to help you find yourself. And I probably encourage you to read.
Yep.
Read a lot and to build your network with the right people, you know, or diversify, because I tell a lot of students in the music department, I say, okay, it's great to go to NAMM. It's awesome to go to Grammy-related events, but why don't you check out Sundance or go to a culinary arts kind of convention, and then you'll be the one person out of 10 who does something different that can complement something else and build a team that way. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, it is.
That's interesting.
If you could even count the number of times even just a singer-songwriter has gotten their break through film.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, how did they find you?
Yeah, it's a new day. It's like this cross-pollination thing and taking advantage of platforms and offering experiences for people, whether it be immersive experiences or social media experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, people can do a lot. You can do a lot on your own digitally. You can mix, master, take videos, edit videos, put it out on the World Wide Web kind of thing. But those things that transcend probably have a team.
I wonder sometimes, like, and you're around students, are they just bored? Like, does anything excite them because they're around Instagram where there's everyone's so talented, they see this stuff all day, every day.
Mm.
Like, do they seem bored to you? Because they still get excited about artists. They still go right. and see live music.
Live music, definitely. Yeah, that's one thing I found too. Like, a lot of my production students here, I want to say a good 40% of them are DJs.
Really?
Like, seriously bona fide DJs.
That's pretty cool.
So there's a lot of excitement there, you know, the live venue space. Yeah. And it actually helps them become better producers because they have an understanding about when people are about to get bored.
All right, so you've placed a fair amount of songs and done production for different people. And I mean, has it really changed that much recently with technology that it's not who you know? I mean, isn't it still like a networking thing?
Definitely still. The way people network is different, but the underlining concept is pretty much still the same. People connecting and who you know, if they like you or not, how good is your communication, or do you have it? Sometimes not about good can be subjective sometimes. People who are horrible communicators will tell you, no, I'm a good communicator.
So, right. They also have no self-awareness, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So that and just being connected is a big help too, because even if I don't know what's the hottest thing out, there's somebody in my network who knows the preface of technology and music industry, and I have access to them, and I'm not just a leech or some type of, what do they call it, symbiotic parasite, you know.
Right,
I have exactly. something that I bring to the table as well, so it works out.
So what would you say in terms of just keeping it analog in networking, what works, and what works in a digital age in terms of social media? And, you know, you mentioned TikTok. Like, for me, I don't understand how TikTok could work for business, but do you know a way, or is it just Instagram for you and the regular methods?
Well, I know it worked for Lil Nas X, so it worked out awesome for his business.
For sure.
And that's the extent of all I know. My daughter is 11.
Right.
She knows how to use TikTok. Like, if I even had TikTok in my phone and tried to use it right now, I would not know how to use it. I check LinkedIn, and I see I have a couple of people from the USC network who work there. So if I ever had to reach out and try to get in more of an awareness or facilitate a partnership with them, I know enough to know that that's the hot thing right now. But
right, because if you're an artist and you want to showcase a song or something like that, you could pull that off on a platform like TikTok. So it wouldn't work necessarily for what I'm doing, but for that it would, I guess.
I guess I haven't seen the platform.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's just another way to showcase.
Okay.
You know, and
that makes sense.
As far as networking, you know, I think the rules apply in the digital world of, it's a very big shout out community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
right.
You go see a show, like I see all the time in the singer songwriter world out here, which I've been kind of loving the past 2 years. There'll be an artist that plays, that artist will go do their thing, and then everyone takes little stories, and then they tag them, and then that artist posts all their tags, so you see who is watching them. So it honestly, it's actually finally a community where people are actually helping each other. So it doesn't even feel like it's competition anymore, which is good, but you got to find the right crew of people. And I see it in the singer-songwriter world. I see it in the lo-fi, like, beats world.
Mm-hmm.
And then those things, you see them right in your hand. All of a sudden, they're collaborating with each other. And then all of a sudden, they're making tracks together. And then they're releasing that stuff. So it is actually, it goes into the real world where they're sitting in studios now together because they tagged that person on Instagram a month ago, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it is technically the same rules as like the analog world of just networking. Like, go see what people are doing, go see what's good, what's different, and get involved with each other's careers. So it's actually good, because usually talking about social media gets a little dark, but that's actually a pretty bright part of it that I've been seeing.
I wholeheartedly agree, and it speeds up it accelerates the process.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody was the type that would get behind the wheel and drive themselves in the ditch, social media help them get to the ditch
quicker.
Much faster.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas
it has no.
Whereas someone else who is headed towards, you know,
I didn't even think of that. That makes sense.
Growing their fan base, getting the word out there. Hey, I got something to offer. I got something to say. I got something for you to hear musically. Now they have a vehicle that can get them there faster.
Yeah.
One thing that I tell people that when they ask me, they're like, oh, well, should I post more or should I post less? And I'm like, well, for one, philosophically, figure out who you are. Where's your comfort level? Because anything outside of that is going to be a challenge. So I see people winning where they just time it just right. They know when to release new stuff. There's some people who post constantly and that's their thing. And then there's some people who say, okay, I'll wait till I have something of quality to offer and then I'll put it out, and that works for them.
I mean, you're a public figure. It's such a different way to grow up. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't grow up as a public figure. I grew up in the dirt in my yard making
in the bows dirt.
I was running around. Yeah, in the dirt. Yeah. I had, you know.
You're just in the mud all day?
I was running around the woods. Come on.
All right.
I'm a Massachusetts
All right,
kid.
Hippie.
But in that sense, you know, what you post, it needs to be better and better quality the more I see it. Because now if I see a post and it's not like close mic'd mm-hmm. and it doesn't sound good, I'm like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. You know, it's 2020. Like, everyone has a studio. Doesn't everyone have a studio? Like, what are you guys doing?
Mm-hmm. And if they don't have that, then compensate in some other way, whether it's shock value or, you know what I'm saying?
Or just the creativity is so just amazing that it's like, who cares, man? I'll listen to you do whatever.
Right.
We're in the age where if you don't have some social media presence, it's tough. I mean, it's people think that you stop playing or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
speaking of such,
it's like not having a cell phone at this point, you know.
I think Jay's gonna post right now.
I'm gonna post something right now. This is very
exactly.
cool.
Yeah.
You know, these kids come in here and I would think you still blow their minds with the information that you have and the experience that you have.
I tell people all the time, I said, I love teaching at USC because I'm learning so much.
Yeah.
You know, but pound for pound, I mean, you got to get to a PhD level to go punch for punch with me just because I've been out there. So I pretty much am unloading on them, but they're giving me.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, I figured a bit of wisdom for myself is pound for pound, I'm probably blowing them away. But if I take a bit of knowledge from the top of each class.
Yep.
Oh, that's blowing me away, but I've added to my arsenal.
Yeah. It just
you know,
gets
so
right
the
in
next
there.
Class that comes next semester,
it's already there.
I'm hitting them with the 1-2 punch, my stuff and the stuff I just learned.
Yep.
You know, and I just, if I keep growing, they're never going to be able to really catch up.
Yeah. I like that.
So it keeps me on my toes, man, because another dog can come out next month and I got to know that joint.
Yeah.
You know, because some kid would know it and be like, can you show me how to?
It's the groundwork, too, though, technology scares people.
You got to embrace it.
Well, it's like the calculator problem, right? It's, you know, to bring it into mathematics. If you grow up now, right? Or even when I grew up, when I was going through calculus and everything, like we had graphing calculators.
Yeah.
So my parents, they didn't have graphing calculators, right? Uh-huh. So that time that I fly through, just putting it in on the little, on the calculator, they had to hand write. So if you look at that, it's sort of like, okay, they have more groundwork than I do, but I'm going to get to more subject matter because I'm going to have more time. So the time that they waste handwriting stuff, which is the groundwork, right? I'm going to fly right through that and then get to the next topic. So it's like you have more subject matter, but you have less of a groundwork understanding. So I feel like that's just a digital problem, you know?
Because it's like those grandparents who didn't have the graphing calculator and had to go through that process are a little sturdier mathematically.
Yep.
Because of the rigor that they had to go through.
It's the mechanics.
Yeah. They might not have gotten the further with the subject matter because it took so long.
Yeah.
But something about happens in their neural network, you know, now that they, you know, can solve problems better.
I mean, it's depth.
Let's move on to something else, Jay, because I have a question for you because you've done so many high-profile gigs and, you know, you were with Janet Jackson for a while. If someone gets a gig with a major artist, how do they not get fired or what are the do's and don'ts of that? Because I know
okay, so, you know, leading into that, I'll just say, for one, you can get fired and be doing everything right and still get fired.
Right.
You know, because it could be politics involved. There could be budgets involved. It could just be an insecure artist involved.
They might just want something different.
Yeah. And that's their prerogative. And it's like, I first would tell people to, okay, it hurts, but try to have enough emotional intelligence to say, okay, it was great while it lasted. And depending on how I make my exit, there's other people in the camp who might be elsewhere later that see how I dealt with the situation. And that's like my LinkedIn profile to them. Yeah. They're seeing me close up, like, okay, let's say we're going to fire one of the keyboard players because the artist has a cousin who's now old enough to go out on the road and play anything. But you can put up a stink, or you can make your valid points, but stand up and say, all in all, I'm really glad for this opportunity. I'm available if you should call me again. So that's one thing. A couple of things to not do is constantly be late.
Right.
Don't assume that your position, you're indispensable. Never carry that air, because that alone to an artist would be like, oh, wait a minute, I'm the only indispensable item on this. Do you have some insecure artist, or not even secure, just human?
Yeah.
And be like, yo, I don't like that attitude around, you know. What's some other things? Just drawing the wrong kind of attention to the camp could be something. So I saw a scenario where a musician was on a high profile gig for American Idol, and the artist had gave out the image of being a wholesome family type of person. So, you know, you can't just be going to city bar hopping and posting that stuff, you know, and then they see who you're playing with. That's an easy way to draw the wrong kind of attention.
Yep.
So stuff like that.
And it's instant now, you know?
Yeah, they see it right away.
again, you're a public figure. You know what I mean? It's Instagram. Like, you're right there.
Actually, another Adam Blackstone taught me a very valuable lesson when I was on one of the gigs. And it took me to another level. And it was the fact he's saying, okay, yeah, you're going through the rehearsal, but you got to understand how your energy impacts the energy and the aura that the other musicians can put out. Like, if you have a bad day, you got to get over that and play with the same intensity as a show night.
Yep.
Because in dress rehearsals, there's so many nuances, especially on a big production gig. They need to see things exactly how they're going to be. The dancers can tell if the band is not where they were. And if they're off, then the lighting people can tell that they're off. So it's all about being a well-oiled machine when it's time to hit.
It's called a show for a reason, man. I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I know that you know, been a synth bass player in different groups, and you've also done production, you've done arranging. How important it is to be in a situation, let's say, as a synth bassist and have these other skills, like programming skills and things like that. Like, does that make you less dispensable?
It helps. It used to be, it really used to be a problem for me, though, when I was younger, because I could see other roles and I could see how I could enhance it, or I had a comment about it. But it took some maturity after a while to understand they hired me for a purpose, and there's a way to do it, if at all,
yep,
to let people know that I have these other skills.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, definitely yeah, helped.
You don't want to you don't want to just be the guy talking all the time and saying what you can do, right?
Right. And if I show somebody else up, now I made an enemy on the gig, so I can't do it that way. And it it definitely helped. Like Janet, again, I was first working as an orchestrator during the Pro Tools, and there came a situation where Adam had to go do Eminem or something. Like, the actual tour dates clashed. He couldn't do it. And so I was just around, and they were like, yo, Jay plays bass.
Yep.
the other people said it, said you know it, what yep. I'm saying? So that was a good look. Exactly. They were like, he already knows the show. He helped put the show together so he can fill in until Adam gets back.
I love that.
And that ended up being like a year and a half of being out on tour. So, but
right. were you synth bass on that, or were you like four string?
It was both.
Both?
Yeah.
Nice.
And programming in between.
Are you a four string guy when you do that?
I could play a 60 string bass. I'm like, I might be on the first five, or you know what I'm saying? But yeah, bass. I started
60,
playing bass.
No, I don't know,
eight.
Man. 60 is a lot.
Really?
Yeah, man. So it's just like, I think now my approach would be, if I knew I had these other skills, I would find things that people in those other roles do well and make a comment to where, very quick comment to where they know that I know that.
Yep.
That joint too,
at like, that level.
At that level, yeah. And be like, yeah, we gotta kick it sometime. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then let it be organic that way.
Yeah.
How do you feel about branding yourself and, you know, being focused? How important is it, let's say, for younger people to have an identity? That's a better way to put it. For instance, not being a jack of all trades, right? Like, does someone have their own sound, or is it beneficial to be able to do country tunes and R&B tunes and be a jazz musician and do all that? Or should you try to focus and get your name out there in a certain way? Is that easier for people to grasp?
Well, there's this quote that another artist you all did a master class with, Eddie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
He said a comment one time, and it stuck with me, and I transferred it to what you're asking. He said, when it comes to styles of music, authenticity is everything.
Yep.
And I think he probably said it in the masterclass with y'all.
Yeah.
And so to me, I feel like when it comes down to identity, authenticity is everything.
That's your identity.
So they need to know within themselves who they are, and then ride the bus till the wheels fall off. And I'm an example of it worked out for me, which is so funny because before I even knew that I was going to be working at USC, I did one of the synth-based master classes, and I had that USC sweatshirt on. And I'm just like, that's my vibe, man. I'm an SC dude.
Yeah.
But I love to teach. I love to help people. And I really have no doubts that that kind of played a role in them looking at me a certain
way. I was actually thinking about that when I was driving here. Yeah. I was like, wait, was he already teaching when he did that?
I had no idea I would ever be teaching here. And
that's
I was
crazy.
Wearing the sweatshirt on the... And another thing is, like, the way that I branded my personal LinkedIn page, it sounds kind of grimy, but put out there what you want people to feel and know about you.
Yep.
It's kind of like a Jedi mind trick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And if it's consistent, if it's simple, I tell people this too.
Simplicity, that's an important word in that.
When you look up at a billboard, the classiest, most effective ones have no more than maybe 12 to 13 words on it. But it's huge, it's larger than life, and you can't F it up. It's like, I know what that billboard's about.
And I'll remember it.
And yeah. Whether it's catchy or if it's just a solid truth, it's indisputable. Like, oh, okay. So for me, I mean, that started turning to my thing. Like, yo, I teach and I'm a computer guy. I'm a computer tech guy. It
right.
worked its way and reified itself now into reality.
And honestly, I don't think the math side hurts either, because that's curriculum in like a different, people don't consider it an art. Mm-hmm. I consider it an art. Mm-hmm. I love mathematics. I think it's the same creative thought as music, but people don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. So they'll see you gut through mathematics and they're like, oh man, he's got like both sides of the coin. This dude, like, he could teach anything, you know?
It is a passion of mine, but to be able to marry the two, math and music, for me is a dream come true. But yeah, it set me to the side a little bit enough to be unique. And I found that to be the case for a lot of other people too. They might have something outside of music that's authentic 200% for them, and they still hold on to that as well. And it's like, oh, okay, we have there's something unique about that person, because not only this, but that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Right. I've got a question about some business stuff, and I think you could probably shed some light on it. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're working with an artist and you're producing them. Do you get a contract or anything written down when you're working with them before you start doing anything?
I should. I should. And, you know, we're going to be real. I mean, I'm talking to Adam and Jake now, so, you know, we always keep it real. Lately, I haven't been.
Oh, don't worry. No one will hear this anyway. No, I'm
just the Northern American hemisphere. Just, but yeah.
Why lately?
That's a great question. Yeah. You took me to that, because I'm doing so many other things, and the quality of the artist and the relationships are so deep now that the relationship is stronger than the actual piece of paper that we're signing. So that is a contract. Right. What a lot of people don't understand, because my dad is a lawyer, a contract can be engrafted in so many ways.
Oh yeah,
conduct is can engraft a contract. There could be verbal or oral contracts.
I actually have a question.
Yeah,
because I wonder if this comes into play with producers and writers. What's the situation when you think doing that with someone before you start working with them, if you think it's going to scare them away from working with you? How do you approach that?
Some love it. It's about scoping out the person. Some love it, and some they will skirt the issue. And the thing is, from an artist standpoint, it adds another layer of protection if they draft the document the right way in their behalf, and it limits their liability as well. And then some people look at it as, oh, now I know this guy is going to do what he said he's going to do. I feel more safe because he signed the contract. And then there's others that's just like, man, you know, depend on their experience and their perspective. They might be like, man, that just feels strange. I just want to create.
Like, they're offended by it.
Yeah. Some people.
Or it just becomes too real for them or something, you know, too corporate, right?
Right. Now, if somebody gets offended by it, then that's a red flag for me. I'm like, well, you know, I know how I get down. That's probably not going to work, because I'm always open at any point, whether it's at the onset when we first shake hands, or if they want to do it before we, you know, there's a deadline when, you got to have this paperwork stuff done before it gets released to the masses. At any point, I'm like, yo, let's talk about the business. Yeah. I'm good.
I mean, because it's, you both want that in the end. So it's weird that one party would be upset or offended. It's like, well, yeah, we're doing this. We can still create and have fun. But like, don't you want this possibly to go somewhere where we both make, you know, money and our careers go further? Right. So it's weird.
Sometimes you have to explain that to people, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and it's a business I went through a little period where I was jaded. I was like, man, you know, I'm tired of music, but I would use it to make some money, because I got a daughter. But I found my love for it again. But I still mentally, I'm still like, all right, well, if it's a business, if you're going to release it and I'm on it, I'm going to take care of the paperwork, and I'm going to find out how to make you the most comfortable to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, you got to be a therapist sometimes, or a psychologist.
We were talking about that in one of our other episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you lose motivation. When this becomes too much of a job, it can bear down on you. Mm. But you found reasons to go through it. It's like, this is going to be good at the end. So
my wife's a therapist, so, you know, She's got a lot to say about me.
That might be because you're a bass player, though.
What, that's a problem now? That's messed up.
Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong company to be saying that. Yeah. I gotta shut bass my guitar player, mouth
Jake,
right now.
Jake, can you punch him in the face for me? Right, you're right next to him.
I got you.
All right, so I got another question. Random question for you. A lot of musicians have problems asking for money. It's just like, you know, in the corporate world, sometimes people can't ask for raises, even though sometimes or most of the time it's not a big deal or people expect you to ask for it. Do you have any problem asking for money, or do you ever talk to your students or any musicians about, you know, how to ask for your money?
That's a great setup. I mean, because for me now, if a student could hear this, I would tell them, look, if you work on building your credits up, after a while, then nobody going to have a problem with you asking. No. And it was so surreal, Adam, when you were just reading off the things that I've done. I was like, wow, I'm so grateful. Like, I really, that did happen. But with all that being said, I can walk into a room, almost any room, and be like, yeah, what's the money looking like? Yeah. Like, I would love for both of us to make a lot of money on this.
Yeah.
And so really it's about how you present it. I remember I was going to get my hair cut one time, and, you know, the barber cut me up, and, you know, I was ready to go. We were laughing, everything, and I started walking out the door, and he was like, hey, Jay, you need change?
That's how he did it? That's the smoothest thing I've ever heard.
He's like, Jay, you need some change? And I was like, oh, I didn't pay him.
So I like this person.
So it's all about presentation sometimes, like how you say it.
Right.
I got little catchphrases. Sometimes I'd be like, look, man, I would love for both of us to make a lot on this.
Yeah.
Like, yo, so what's the first step in that?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'll leave it on the table and see what their vibe is. Or I might just say, oh, who do I talk to about the business of this?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's them or somebody else.
I mean, they're probably, and they're expecting that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But they're not going to bring it up.
No, but you're right. You have ways to say things, which is a smart way. It's, you know, because you're a people person that isn't just like, hey, I need my money. How much money am I getting paid? Like, you know, you don't want to sound like that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
No, but you're doing the same thing, but you're doing it in a classy way. That's the right thing to do.
And I tell my students too, they always ask me, when is the time to actually ask that? And I tell them, okay, ideally before you start. And they still are, you know,
it's reluctant. Uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It is. But I tell them, man, you know, when you start getting up there in years like me, and you say, you figure, oh, I don't have time to waste.
Yep.
Like, I get this out in the open right now. Like, what are we doing here? What's the situation?
Right.
And then depending on the response, I pretty much have lived enough to see if it's going to be all bad. And then I can just back away gracefully and preserve the relationship until, you know, there might be a third party coming in that I can bring us into a creative situation, we both get paid.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so
you need to know what you're dealing with.
Right. So I kind of curve them, but in a nice way, and then disappear. Like,
yeah.
If I think it's going to be all bad, like, oh, yeah, man, stuff got crazy, bro. It's like,
it's also a motivator. If you know right up front, like, hey, this is costing them money, so I want to work my absolute best. Mm-hmm. And then for them, they're like, we're paying for this, so I want to make sure I hear every cut and I give them good notes. Mm-hmm. And it really is just when you know what's on the line, you work harder.
Yeah.
You have to look at it as a positive way like that and not be afraid to just open that can and just be like, we're talking about this right now.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Let's see what we're actually working with.
So this is a different subject, but, you know, as a young Jay and now a Jay with kids and responsibilities or more responsibilities, like, how has your thought process changed, you know, and how do you deal with your time or lack of time? Or, you know, I know for me, I can strike with amazing accuracy. Like, if I have an hour, I can just get to it, you know, and I can do exactly what I need to do because I don't have time to waste. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how you get this done? Because, you know, you don't have a lot of free time, right?
Yeah, man. It's like, if I choose to waste my time, then that's on me. but I'm not going to let you waste my time.
Yeah, that's correct. Now I identify it.
So I have much less time to waste. And when it's time to get to work, yeah, I'm trying to just make it a win-win as efficiently as possible. You know, sometimes you can't rush it, but sometimes, hey, it don't take all day if you know what you're doing sometimes. Yeah. And I go, yeah, my daughter and just my spiritual health and well-being, all that comes before the music stuff. But if I get that right, for some reason, it fuels me to be able to do my job better and more efficiently. So it's like a cycle for me.
Okay, so we're getting towards the end of this podcast now. And, you know, what would be your general advice to maybe your students? In this business, being young people in the business, handling rejection and trying to make bridges and right and not burn them. I mean, I know it's a big topic, but what's your general advice?
For young people, I would say really try to identify the value of relationships early. And the younger you are, if you have fewer responsibilities, like you never really understand how valuable that is until you have to start paying bills and life just gets way more real after a while. Yeah. So if you have the situation where, okay, yeah, you could have fun partying, definitely do that. But I used to be in my mom's basement with another cat, Mark Copeland, who I grew up in Baltimore with, but he's now a professor at Berkeley. And we were best friends. Yeah, man. We just used to be down there sequencing and making songs, shedding.
Yeah, he's bad. He's great.
Yeah. So now it's like it pays off because all those years of preparation, they asked me, well, how did you get on? Put in that time and incrementally add it up. Like, you know, I'd rather have a penny and add a penny to it each day, you know, rather than somebody pay me 100 and then I put it in a bank account at 2%. So
that's spoken like a mathematician right there. Hold on a second.
Yeah, man. You know, just let me build it up.
When you're constantly learning and working on a craft, you're also learning how to learn. So you're gonna be quicker and more efficient when you learn something new.
Yes.
So
learning agility is what I tell the kids.
Like when you're out partying and stuff like that, definitely do it because you need social, you know, everything. Like that stuff's just as important as anything you learn. But you want to balance it out. You always want to be productive. You always want to be learning stuff because it's instead of starting way later, I'm like, oh, now I'm going to start to work on stuff. You have a decade to catch up on. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and stuff you just probably might not have that time to. Yeah. Responsibilities kick in and, you know, you get in a serious relationship, you get married possibly, it gets real.
Yeah, but learning is exponential.
Yeah, you can't be sitting there on the DAW or whatever and then your wife says, we need to talk.
Yeah.
You're like, hold on. No, that's not going to fly.
No, you don't want
that. That's not going to fly.
You don't want to have that conversation at all.
I got to EQ this real quick. Hang on.
Yeah, at that point, it's just be like, Command S.
Yeah.
Let me just go.
You know, when it all comes down to it, it's really about, you know, I mean, you've said a lot of great points, and it's really about people skills and being likable. And as you know, everyone can hear here. That sounds terrible. As everyone can hear here, Jay's a really likable guy, you know, and he's got really good people skills, and he's a good communicator, and he's smart, right? All those things go hand in hand. So we did a few videos for my music masterclass with Jay, and they're all great, and he's good at explaining pretty much everything. And you know, It's been great talking to you, Jay, and I'm so glad that we were able to hook this up in our virtual studio, and I'm going to let you carry on with your evening, and we'll wrap this up. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thanks for coming out, Jake, and I look forward to these next classes we'll build in 2020, hopefully.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, we're back here, and that was a great shoot with Jay. That was a lot of fun. He's an old friend, obviously, and he's got so much insight.
Dude, when I was leaving, I'm pretty sure Minter's like big band or something was playing. They were
killing it.
Like, Bob Minter's big band.
Dude, yeah. It was insane. I wanted to stay, but I was like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, Jay reminded me during that shoot, you know, with his mathematics background about that video we just released for My Music Masterclass, the one with Daniel Dorr, doing all these really, really cool relationships between twos and threes and different grids. And, you know, Daniel actually talks a lot about the golden ratio too. It's amazing how mathematics and music are related like that, you know?
When you actually want to admit it, yeah. But musicians don't like to admit that.
Yeah, musicians are often good at math.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, it's funny because he mentions Lil Nas X and Asaf Rodeh, who's on our site for other things. You know, he's now the guitarist and musical director for Lil Nas X, and we're going to actually do a future podcast with him. So that episode is going to be really cool, and we can kind of, you know, run this full circle and relate the whole thing, right?
Yeah, we need to email him and set up a time for that. And yeah, we're doing Bruce Forman pretty soon too.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people lined up. All kinds of cats, yeah. Telling all kinds of stories and giving all kinds of advice. So anyway, I think that's it for now, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail? You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.